Hello and good afternoon, everyone. It's Paul D'Souza here from Sightline Wealth Management, and I'm speaking with Aaron Edgar from Edgar Channel Law. And today's topic of conversation is family cottages. We are deep into the summer cottaging season, and in speaking with various individuals, the topic has come up of keeping the cottage in family. So I'm happy to be speaking with Aaron. Hello, how are you?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for the introduction.
You're welcome. Yeah, if maybe just a bit of background, if you could provide an introduction on yourself and your firm.
Yeah, so I'm Aaron Edgar. I'm an estate planning lawyer. I work with Edgar Channel Law, which is just a small boutique practice that I run with me and my spouse. And we help a lot of clients out from Sightline with their wills and powers of attorney, and also other trust planning that they may need.
Okay, excellent. So on the topic of cottages, I assume you have quite a bit of experience in this. Maybe you could just provide an overview of some of the challenges involved with this, especially given cottages may be in the family for a number of years and there's a latent capital gain tax embedded in this and all of the planning issues surrounding that.
Yeah, so like you mentioned, the biggest challenge with cottages, it's something that has sometimes a lot of sentimental value, a lot of, there's that need and want to keep it in the family. And there's also just the difficulties with planning. So the tax considerations, like you mentioned, there's the capital gains tax, there's probate taxes, and dealing with that in someone's estate plan can make it really difficult to have fairness between children, depending on what they do with the cottage. It can sometimes even be difficult to keep the cottage. So it's an area that's very difficult to deal with, and it really takes a lot of, I think, coordination with the family to talk with one another, discuss what the plan is with the cottage and how they're going to deal with things, and make sure that kind of is realized in the estate plan.
Okay, so maybe let's have a conversation around that. Imagine I'm a client here. It's my cottage. I'm in my 70s. I have, let's say, three children, all married. Say two of them really enjoy the cottage, one doesn't. Let's see here. And maybe a spouse of the other possibly doesn't. And I have several grandchildren. So how does that conversation go sound like?
Yeah, so really the first part of the conversation is, do the kids enjoy the cottage? Which kids are interested in actually having the cottage? So that's a piece of discussion. And then the question really comes after that. So, the two children are interested in the cottage. So how do they get the cottage? Is it transferred to them, outright in the will? How's the other child treated fairly if they don't want the cottage? So how is that kind of taken into account? So that's kind of some of the difficulty with the planning. And again, okay, we're going to talk about too, what's the capital gains tax on the cottage as well? So what is that kind of that latent tax burden that would have to be satisfied?
Now, planning, the best part of planning is starting early, but let's say there hasn't been much planning left. Time in order to plan. And so if it's left in the will, obviously taxes will be paid on the death of the second spouse. And so is there any strategies around offsetting that tax? I would say life insurance could be quite expensive at this time.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to offset the tax. It's more about making sure the clients understand that the burden of the tax is borne by the estate, and whether that's fair or not, and whether they need to take that into account and how they divide up the estate. So if the gift of the cottage is going outright to two of the children, how is that third child made equal with respect to the value of the cottage that the other two children are getting, and also taking into account the tax burden that the estate is paying in order to transfer that asset outright to someone, right? So when they transfer the cottage outright, the cottage goes to the two children and it has a value, but the tax burden is borne by the other remainder beneficiaries of the estate.
Right. And it's sort of an unknown too, as we don't know when that cottage will be transferred and what the property value will be. So then how do you make it fair for say that third child who will not be participating with that?
Yeah, so a lot of it's like kind of looking at the total value of the estate to see if there is enough, is there enough liquid assets there or enough other assets there to satisfy the other child if the two other children get the cottage. So a part of it's looking at the proportion of the cottage and the capital gains tax against the rest of the estate and whether that other child would be able to be made whole, basically. And sometimes if they can't, you have to look at other different, other planning mechanisms, right? So maybe what you're doing is having the other two children potentially purchase the cottage from the estate, or you know, sometimes what we do a lot of times for these scenarios is you maybe set up a trust that the cottage is held in a testamentary trust that's created under the will for a period of time, so that the children can maybe figure out whether they want the cottage or whether they're interested in it, and you allows time for the children to agree on what they want to do in terms of how they're going to, you know, purchase the cottage from the trust and how that money is used to kind of make everyone equal, basically.
Okay. Can we maybe talk more about that? So what are the mechanics there if the cottage is being placed into the trust on death, second spouse?
Yeah. So on death, the cottage would move to a trust. The difficult piece is you probably have to set up a fund as well to, you know, pay all those cottage expenses. And you're also giving the children that use of the cottage. Sometimes you also have some sort of valuation mechanism in there. How do you value the cottage if someone's going to purchase it? The other things you want to consider too is, you know, how do you figure out who maybe has the ability to purchase the cottage? Is there a right of first refusal, an order of the children? Do all the children have to agree on, you know, how the cottage is going to be sold? What happens if they can't agree on that? Is the cottage just sold? Is there someone who, you know, settles the disagreement for them? Other pieces can also involve, you know, is there some sort of co-ownership agreement that they have to establish, or do you kind of set up some preliminary terms in the, you know, in the cottage trust about how the cottage can be used and things like that. So there's a lot of pieces that can be brought involved in that cottage trust, and it can make it a little bit difficult and challenging because there's so many different aspects, right?
Right. In terms of how closely do you work with accountants in this? Because I know there's some strategies around claiming a capital gains reserve where instead of, you know, selling to the kids at fair market, it's and have them pay you as a, sorry, with a promissory note, and then you don't collect on the notes, and then they're forgiven. So there are a bunch of strategies there. Do you work closely with accountants, or do you work with the accountants that the clients have?
Yeah, it depends. You know, if things are really tax driven, then we want to make sure that the, you know, the strategy works with the tax consequences, that they're dealing with it the right way. Like, you know, sometimes the cottage can even qualify for the principal residence exemption as well, right? So if the cottage is the biggest piece of property, maybe they're apportioning the principal residence exemption to the cottage as opposed to their home in the city, right?
Mm-hmm. And if that's done now, isn't that done at fair market value, for instance?
Yeah, so if they're transferring the property during their lifetime, they're doing it usually at fair market value, and the child's acquiring it at fair market value. So whether they do that with promissory note or whether it's an outright gift, you know, that's usually, we do want the accountant involved because they also want to know the consequence too of what happens if they, you know, if they're forgiving that promissory note in the will. Again, is that going to be fair to the other children, or are they taking that promissory note into account if they're forgiving it, you know, to bring the other children to hodgepodge to equalize them based on that promissory note? So those things have to be brought into account in the fairness avenue, like, you know, are all children treated fairly, as well as the tax avenue. You know, what is the consequence if they forgive or don't forgive the promissory note? Is there interest payable on the promissory note as well? You know, things like that.
What about probate in terms of it's passed through the will? It's not subject to probate, correct?
No, the cottage is something that is subject to probate. So okay. The gross value of the cottage is going to be subject to probate tax. You know, you can always deduct the value of any mortgage that's on the property. The one consideration as well, sometimes they can avoid probate tax, is if it qualifies for what's known as the first dealing exemption. So if the property was purchased and not transferred prior to the 90s, they may have an opportunity to transfer the cottage without paying probate tax. But usually they want to do a separate will for that real estate. So I have some clients where we're doing the title search, you know, to verify whether it qualifies for that exemption. And then maybe we're putting the cottage in a secondary will just to avoid probate tax. So probate tax is about 1.5%. So, you know, on $1 million cottage, you can save $15,000 if it qualifies for that first dealing exemption. So if a cottage has been in the family for a long time, there's a chance that it may qualify for that, that first dealing exemption.
Okay. What is that year that's very important? 19.
You know, I'm not sure exactly on what the year is, and I think it depends on when properties were transferred into the registry system.
Okay. And do you counsel in terms of keeping track of all major repairs, improvements, just to raise the ACB in the cottage? So that'll be a lower capital gain.
Yeah, so it's another tax consideration. It's important to, if they can, to keep track of those capital improvements and those expenses that'll raise the ACB of the property to reduce the final tax bill.
Hmm. Certainly a lot of moving parts here. I can see how this can be challenging. And do you often sit with the entire family, or is it maybe just
Normally I'm sitting with the owners of the cottage. It's the parents, and it's, you know, I'm usually telling them to go back and, you know, talk to the kids, figure out what the plan is, are the kids interested or not. So, you know, a lot of times, you know, it'll be a young family and, you know, they've had the cottage in their family and they, you know, we want to really keep it in the family. And, you know, the question even comes up is, you know, the kids are too young to enjoy the cottage. If something were to happen to you in the next 5 to 10 years, you know, do you need the cottage asset to, you know, fund the child's education? Is it really feasible to keep it in the family? So those are the type of discussions you have to kind of have before you even talk about what the plan is or how you're going to deal with it.
Yeah, excellent. Well, it's terrific speaking to you. That's a lot of great information. I think that we can summarize out of this is it's not a simple process. And I think some deep thought and consideration is required. And so we'll have your information up on our website for those that are listening to this call. And just feel free to reach out to Aaron and Andy and have any questions answered. Any closing thoughts, Aaron?
Yeah, just, I mean, the family cottage is always a contentious area of estate planning. So you need to get professional advice to deal with it. And it's always good to meet with an estate planner just to talk about all the possible options. So you may think of some ways of dealing with the cottage. An estate planner might give you, the option that works best for your family from a family harmony perspective, from a tax perspective, income tax, as well as probate tax. So, and also even family law considerations. There's a lot of pieces to the puzzle that fit together when you talk about the family cottage. And, you know, it's always good to talk to a professional so you can kind of explore all avenues and figure out what the right fit is for your family and how to deal with the cottage.
Yeah, sure. I think you touched upon something just before closing here in terms of the family law aspect, where obviously a divorce happens, it's unfortunate, and then how is then, I guess that can be planned through the use of estate planning, trusts, etc., correct?
Exactly. So sometimes, yeah, you know, they want to make sure to keep the family in the cottage and that it doesn't become an asset that's part of net family property subject to division on divorce. So you want to keep those thoughts in mind as well when you want to keep the family in the cottage, right?
Excellent. Well, thank you for this, Aaron, and all the best, and we will talk soon. And have a great day.
All right. Thanks a lot.